Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. This is Great Awakenings on GlobalFreedomTV.com, and we're joined once again with the great Dr. James Fetzer to examine all sorts of interesting things that are happening in the world. Jim, it's good to have you back, and let me just kick off. There's an event that just seemingly happened, and that is the destruction of a bridge in Baltimore, which a lot of people are presenting evidence and video about. Explosives, dynamite, going off, exploding it intentionally, purposefully. You know, my default position on these things is always a false flag or sabotage or some kind of an intentional operation as a distraction operation or as some justification for increase in government operations control and such. And I think this is fitting that description. I think this is intended to pull attention away from the United States' culpability in the attack upon Russia, which theoretically is a declaration of war, and by killing women and children and men and what is it, 150 people, by the United States enabling the Ukrainian GRU to work with recruits allegedly from ISIS-K, and there's a lot of ISIS in Ukraine. This is an act of war that the United States has done. So it seems like this is a convenient distraction away from all of that. But I'll hand it to you, Jim. Open us up with what your findings are, and I know we have some other stories. Go ahead.
Well, Scott, I couldn't agree more than that the ship hitting the bridge appears to have been deliberate. They have a cover story, but believe it or not, this is not the first time that ship has hit a bridge. Meanwhile, to lay background for what's now happened at the United Nations, UN envoy accuses Israel of genocide in Gaza. Israeli action in Gaza qualifies genocide on at least three grounds. According to a report by Francesca Albanese, the UN Human Rights Council special rapporteur, leaked to the public Monday, presented to the council today. The pro-Israel watch, UN Watch group, obtained an advanced copy. The overwhelming nature and scale of Israel's assault on Gaza and the destructive conditions of life it has inflicted reveal an intent to physically destroy Palestinians as a group, Albanese wrote in the report entitled Anatomy of a Genocide. She argued Israel has destroyed Gaza over the past 5 months, killing over 30,000, destroying 70% of residential areas, displacing 80% of the population. There are reasonable grounds to believe that the threshold indicating Israel's commission of genocide is met. Accusing Israel of violating three criteria of the Genocide Convention, to wit, killing members of a community, inflicting serious mental or bodily harm to the group, and deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction in whole or in part. As proof of Israeli intent, she quoted vitriolic genocidal rhetoric about killing them all, about destroying them, coming from Israeli President Isaac Herzog, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, IDF spokesperson Daniel Hagari, Agriculture Minister Avi Dicher, Heritage Minister Emil Ehlat, and Lukid member of the Knesset, Rafali Gottlieb, as well as others. They have not been shy from declaring their intention to kill every man, woman, and child who is Palestinian. The Israeli diplomatic mission in Geneva denounced the report as outrageous and simply an extension of a campaign seeking to undermine the very establishment of the Jewish state. Israel's war is against Hamas, not against Palestinian civilians, which leads to the question of why two out of three of those they killed are women or children. According to Albanese, the Israeli military has treated all of Gaza as either terrorist or terrorist supporting, meaning no Palestinian in Gaza is safe by definition. She also framed the events of the past 5 months to the escalatory stage of a long-standing settler colonial process of erasure defining genocide as integral to the ideology and practice of settler colonialism. Acting on a petition by South Africa, the International Court of Justice has ordered Israel to do everything it can to prevent genocidal acts in Gaza. Albany's report could have legal implications for the case. The Gaza-based Hamas raided the surrounding Israel outposts on October 7th, killing an estimated 1,200 and taking another 250 captive. Netanyahu responded by declaring war on the Palestinian group, but it was merely a cover. And there's more and more evidence that Israel killed more of those on October 7th than did Hamas. The UN Human Rights Council appointed Albanese a special rapporteur on the situation of human rights in the Palestinian territories occupied in 1967 in March of 2022. She's done a good job. Scott, here's a perfect illustration of the terrorism being implemented by Israel.
ترويع الفلسطينيين وترويع من يشاهد مقتلة الفلسطينيين. بداية فبراير الماضي، أربعة شبان يسرعون الخطى في البحث عن منازلهم إن بقيت. هنا منطقة السكة في خان يونس بجنوب قطاع غزة التي شهدت قصفا إسرائيليا وعمليات عسكرية منذ بدء التوغل في المحافظة الجنوبية أوائل ديسمبر الماضي. تظهر الصور التي حصلت عليها الجزيرة من مسيرة إسرائيلية الشبان وهم يسيرون بين ركام خلفته طائرات وقذائف الاحتلال وعلى طريق أشبعتها آلياته تجريفا. انسحبت الآليات من المنطقة برا لكنها بقيت تترصد المدنيين جوا. حصلت الجزيرة على هذه الصور من طائرة مسيرة إسرائيلية من أسطول يحوم فوق غزة منذ ما قبل السابع من أكتوبر. ويبدو واضحا من الصور أن هؤلاء الفلسطينيين لا يحملون السلاح ولا يشكلون خطرا على أي شيء. الترويع
That's exactly what they're all about. Yeah. U.S. claims Israel is following international law and not blocking aid. The State Department claimed Monday Israel is using U.S. weapons without violating international or U.S. law, despite the massive civilian casualties and the starvation blockade imposed on the Gaza Strip. Under a new national security memorandum, the U.S. requires countries armed with U.S. weapons to provide assurance they won't violate international law or block humanitarian assistance. Israeli Defense Minister Yoav Gallant gave the assurances in a letter he issued earlier this month, which they are grossly violating. The State Department is also claiming Israel is not violating international law by imposing restrictions on aid entering Gaza, which has caused severe levels of acute food insecurity for 100% of the population. We've had ongoing assessments of Israel compliance with international humanitarian law. We have not found them to be in violation, either when it comes to the conduct of the war or the provision of humanitarian assistance. We view those assurances through the ongoing work we have done, said a State Department spokesman, Matt Miller. State has until May 8th to submit a report to Congress on Israel's compliance with international law. That will be a neat trick. By backing the Israeli assurances, the Biden admin can continue to arm Israel to support the slaughter in Gaza, which has killed over 32,000, including 13,000 children. Certification from the U.S. came after a video was released of an Israeli drone killing four unarmed Palestinian men in a series of strikes. The last man was killed while trying to crawl away from the scene of the initial drone strike. I should have let it continue running. Dozens of congressional Democrats have urged Biden to suspend military assistance to Israel by invoking foreign assistance laws that prohibit aid to countries that block humanitarian assistance. But so far, the pressure has not worked. As a $1.2 trillion funding bill Biden has just signed and go 3.8 in annual military aid for Israel. On Sunday, Vice President Harris said she wouldn't rule out consequences for Israel if it launches a ground assault on Rafah, packed with 1.5 million Palestinians. But she did not specify if that meant a reduction of military aid. PM Netanyahu continues to insist he will attack the city no matter what the United States may think. Scott, your thoughts?
Well, I think no one, you don't have to go any further than playing that original video with the four young men being blown to bits by the Israeli drone as they're walking back home without weapons just to inspect the damage. That right there is the fingerprints and blood of genocide, of crimes against humanity. It is that video that is sufficient to swear out warrants for international arrest warrants as crimes against humanity, war criminals, whatever you want to call them. If you're going to do this to Milosevic and others in the past, Netanyahu pales them in comparison. So there should be international arrest warrants sworn out for Netanyahu and for Joe Biden for being an aiding and abetting of war crimes. That's what this is. This isn't war. And, you know, the Palestinians should say all of the hostages that, you know, were taken on October 7th are dead. They're all dead. They've been killed by Israel. There's no more. Their remains aren't even, you know, feasible. They've been blown to bits, but they're dead. Because Israel is constantly using that as a citation to continue its genocide. And it's absolutely atrocious, in particular that the Muslim world has been so feckless, so incompetent, so indecisive, so you know, gutless, that they haven't been able to organize themselves and step in and lead some kind of a united Islamic effort to provide aid and rescue these poor people. But they don't care. They don't care. They make a lot of noise. And I was on an interview with an Indonesian professor, and I said, I'm tired of hearing all of this stuff from all these Muslim countries because they haven't done anything. It's not my duty to rescue the Palestinians. I'm a Christian. It's the Muslims' duty. There's a particular lineage there. And yes, of course, we all feel, regardless of your religion. And I said, I'm ashamed that the United States is giving these weapons. But the rescue and the actions, there is a particular role that the Islamic world has to fill that no one else can fill because they are the Islamic world and Palestine and the entire you know, Islamic identity. Where are they on this? And they're nowhere to be found. So this, I do think, inevitably it will lead to a slow rising. Yemen has already filled that void. As more and more of these videos come out, you're seeing tens of thousands of people in protests. Their leaders had better do something. At the very least, they ought to say every Israeli consulate, embassy, and passport is being expelled from our country. Egypt should do that. Jordan should do that. Saudi Arabia should do that. Turkey should do that. Pakistan should do that. Indonesia should do that. Every African Union nation. I think South Africa has done that to an extent. But absent of that, it shows that war crimes are tolerated. And not only are they tolerated, they're encouraged. And the United States government under Biden is encouraged to continue these. And, you know, I think it's the most, I think it's the greatest crime against humanity that we've seen in the history of humanity. And I'll stop there and hand it back to you, Jim.
Well, it is outrageous, Scott. And I've been very troubled by the role of the United States here. Meanwhile, the Cato Institute even has drawn the conclusion Israel is a strategic liability for the United States. The special relationship does not benefit Washington and is endangering U.S. interests across the globe. U.S. President Biden recently proclaimed there's no going back to the Middle East status quo as it stood on October 6th. But the truth is, Biden refuses to abandon the status quo, particularly regarding Washington's so-called special relationship with Israel. Unwavering, U.S. support for Israel has been a constant element of U.S. Middle East policy since the establishment of the state in 1948. JFK coined the phrase special relationship in 1962, explaining that Washington's ties to the state were really comparable only to that it has with Britain over a wide range of world affairs. By 2013, then Vice President Biden argued, it's not only a long-standing moral commitment, it's a strategic commitment. According to Biden, if there were no Israel, we'd have to invent one. In 2020, then President Donald Trump cut through some of the fog, admitting, we don't have to be in the Middle East other than we want to protect Israel. The core of the U.S.-Israel relationship is the unparalleled amount of aid Washington bestows upon its ally. Israel is a top recipient, more than $300 billion adjusted for inflation from the United States since World War II. Washington continues to provide Israel with about $3.8 billion annually, in addition to other arms deals and security benefits. Some of the other top recipients, such as Egypt and Jordan, receive large amounts in exchange for maintaining normalized relations with Israel. Israel and its supporters are hugely influential in Washington, commanding attention on both sides of the political aisle through different forms of direct and indirect lobbying and influence. What exactly the United States gets in return for this unidirectional relationship remains unclear. Proponents claim unfaltering support is critical for the advancement of U.S. interests in the Middle East. Senator Lindsey Graham, for example, once referred to Israel as the eyes and ears of America in the region. While intelligence sharing may have some strategic value, the past 5 months of war in Gaza have made clear the numerous negative effects of the relationship, namely how Washington's emphatic embrace of Israel has undermined its strategic posture in the Middle East while damaging its global image. The war has starkly highlighted the underlying failure of U.S. Middle East policy. It's past time for a fundamental reevaluation of the U.S.-Israel relationship. Even Donald Trump has qualified his views. Trump urges Israel to finish up his Gaza offensive, warning that global support is fading. Former President Trump said he would have responded, as did Israel, after the October 7th attack by Hamas, but urged the country to finish up its offensive in Gaza. Get this over with. Warning of international support fading. It's ambiguous there, of course, as to whether he really means slaughter all the Palestinians as quickly as possible. He continues, you have to finish up your war. You have to finish it up. We've got to get it done. He said in an interview with Israeli newspaper Israel Hayom, we've got to get to peace. You can't have this going on. And I will say Israel has to be very careful, because you're losing a lot of the world. You're losing a lot of support. Trump, who earlier became the Republican Party's presumptive nominee, brought up global criticism of Israel's offensive, even as he repeatedly attacked Biden's handling of the conflict. According to the newspaper's transcript, Trump said Israel made a very big mistake in releasing photos and videos of its offensive in Gaza, commenting the country's public image is in ruin. A video shared at the interview does not include those comments. That's a terrible portrait. That's a very bad picture for the world, Trump said. I think Israel wanted to show that it's tough, but sometimes you shouldn't be doing that. The Israel Hayom is widely seen as a mouthpiece for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Soon after the attack in which Hamas militants killed 1,200 and took 2,250 hostages, Trump denounced Netanyahu for allegedly letting him down while he was in the White House. He also said Netanyahu was not prepared for the deadly incursion from Gaza. Now, Scott, all that's very interesting, but provides a background for what has now happened. You have a report from a fellow who seems like a older, more worn version of Mike Adams, who drops a certain number of F-bombs. Let me begin, and then we'll talk about it.
Hello, folks. Today is the 25th day of March 2024. It is about 2 o'clock. It is exactly 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Monday down here in Tampa, Florida. Breaking news. The UN Security Council has passed a resolution demanding an immediate ceasefire in Gaza between the IDF and the various forces of the Palestinian resistance and Hamas. It is an immediate ceasefire and also an immediate release of prisoners on both sides. This is causing quite a stir. It's causing quite a stir with special in the media because I'm not exactly sure how to report on it. It's causing quite a stir in the AIPAC-backed fucking Congress critters who are hopping up and down because we're not defending the Jews enough, according to them, and is causing a huge stir in Israel. And that really is the question. What caused it? Thought I would show you this to start off with, though. Just so people just don't really understand. They talk about, oh, my God, the terrorism of October the 7th. Hamas are still terrorists. This is what happened. This is what's happening. That's Hamad City. It's outside of Khan Shukur, I believe, or one of those cities. It's a city that's slightly south of Gaza City. It's south of where they're running this fucking highway through. We'll talk about that as well. But that's Hamad City. It was built by Qatar. 2017, I believe, opened up. It's a massive housing operation to put people, Palestinians, in homes. And that, down there in the bottom right side of the quadrant of the image, is what Israel did to it. Based on the terrorism. What about Kibbutz Be'eri, Scott? Well, there's Kibbutz Be'eri. A few roofs were burned off of some buildings, some houses. But what caused it? What caused it? Palestinians? No. The IDF. Multiple tanks fired on buildings that were supposedly where Palestinians had taken refuge and were hiding either with or without Israeli hostages. There was one hostage, and this has been covered by the Times of Israel and by Haaretz and by all the rest in Israel. One hostage survived. She was one of 13 in a kibbutz in Be'eri. The other 12 all died. They were slaughtered by the Palestinians? No. According to her statements, they died when Israeli tanks opened fire with their shells, with their cannons on the fucking building. When you see the massive destruction of houses and the cars from October the 7th, that wasn't done by the Palestinians. That was done by Israeli tanks, Israeli machine guns, chain guns mounted on top of Israeli tanks, and by Israeli drones. These are all facts. So, even if you were to say those houses up there in the upper left quadrant were done by the Palestinians, there is such a thing as called proportionality in war. It is a guideline to war. According to a former fucking Minister of Defense in the United States, or Secretary of Defense in the United States, a guy by the name of Robert McNamara. Read his book, Fog of War. Proportionality exists. Proportionality is a rule. It is a guideline. It is a rule if you look at the International Red Cross. There is such a thing as proportionality, and that is not proportional. So I just wanted to bring that up and to mention that. Just as a reminder of what we're talking about here, because so often people forget. I know I don't look that great. I didn't get ready. I didn't even put the image up, my logo up on my screen back behind me. I needed to get this information out there to you. And so we're not going to mess with. There's three things we're going to talk about quickly. We're going to talk first off about the UN Security Council resolution and the vote. The vote was 14-0 with one abstention. You know, there's 15 voting members on the UN Security Council. The one abstention was the United States, and I'm going to show you the exact moment that abstention vote was cast, and the look on her face when she, first of all, did not raise her hand when they asked, "Are there anybody who opposes this resolution?" And second, you'll see when she raises her hand for the abstaining from the vote, which of course her abstention meant that the vote will pass. She knew exactly what she was doing. Question is, is the Biden administration behind it? Are the powers behind the Biden administration behind it? We know that Benjamin Netanyahu is not. I will tell you that right now. There has been a plan for 2 days from now, a massive conference to be taking place, CONFAD, to be taking place in the United States. All of these major members of the war cabinet and their secretary and the minister of defense and all of these people, and I think Benny Gantz and all these others coming up from Israel and Mossad, Hand of Mossad and all these guys coming up from Israel to sit, everyone except Bibi Netanyahu, to sit down and talk about how can they move forward even with some kind of incursion into Rafah without killing civilians. And that was the plan for this big powwow that was supposed to take place. Supposedly the incursion into Rafah was going to take place, or was supposedly scheduled for 1 week from today. And I believe the idea there is to drive people, to bring in Israeli troops from above and drive them down and then put pressure on Egypt to open the fucking floodgates and as many to ethnically cleanse Gaza as much as they can. That was his point. That's his point, Benjamin Netanyahu's. That plan was supposed to take place. Bibi Netanyahu has thrown a tantrum, and he says he is no longer authorizing that meeting to take place. He is livid about this vote. I'll show you all of that, the vote that takes place. The second thing I'm going to show you is, of course, what I think might be behind it. And that is, Bibi's been making a lot of statements recently at home, and some dealing with press abroad, that really he's the one calling the shots, he's the one in charge, all of this stuff, even taking credit for the NACPA pier, which we'll also talk about at the end of this video. He's been talking about talking this big game, but he also just recently said to the Knesset, I'll show you the link for this, inside Israel, he's on record on the Knesset saying, listen, we've got to fucking change the draft system to start drafting these ultra-Orthodox guys and even older ultra-Orthodox guys. We've got to raise that up and jack that up and force them in, because if we don't, Benjamin Netanyahu says, our government will fall. And what does he mean by that? Well, it's quite clear what he means by that. He's not saying the government of Israel will fall. He's saying if they can't get more fucking troops to throw into this fucking fight, they're going to have to call it off. And when they call it off, immediately there's going to be a call from the public for a vote of no confidence, which they will get Even the Likudniks will vote to get rid of Bibi. And Bibi and the Likudniks will be out. He literally went before Congress, before their version of Congress, and said, if we can't draft these people that we traditionally, and by the nature of their faith, if we don't force them to put guns in their hands and go out there and fight on the front lines, then I'm going to be out of a job. You'll be out of a job. Some of you will be out of a job. He literally said that. And it's on record. It's a question. He said that. So that tells you that this whole thing, in his mind, has been about appeasing the Likudniks and the supreme fucking Zionists to the point where it'll keep him in office. And if he can't do that, if he can't keep the fucking war going, he's fucking out.
Scott, I want to say, I think this guy made so many great points. You see what I mean? Like, he looks like an older, kind of more weathered version of Mike Adams. Dropping F-bombs. I've never heard Mike drop those F-bombs, but I think his analysis was pretty spot on. There's been a major issue in Israel between the ultra-Orthodox who are exempt from military service, and when originally they were only 2 or 3% of the population, it wasn't so significant. Now they're like 16%, and it's making a difference, and there's tremendous resentment in Israel over those who have to serve and those who do not. In any case, I'm keen on your take on the whole shebang.
Well, from the very beginning, the October 7th attack looked like a false flag or some sort of engineered 9/11 event, and many people working in the IDF in the past have said that too, have said, I was an IDF soldier, Air Force, and there's no way, it's impossible for our surveillance systems not to have been alerted and for all of these things to have not happened. This was an intentional action. And I know Ritter has said they were simply caught off guard and they said they were going to sleep on it. I don't buy that. I think this is a calculated move to initiate an expulsion and extermination of Gaza, and they thought they were going to get away with it. Like they always think, the devil leads them down this course of thinking they'll get away with, we'll just go in and bulldoze and destroy everything and kill everybody, and suddenly we'll have an empty space, and then we can build the canal, and then we can do anything we wanted with this property, and then, if they didn't kill anybody, well, then we'll just expel them to Europe or Africa. Remember, they were talking about that. And it didn't go as planned. It hasn't gone as planned. And, no one remembers October 7th anymore. The only thing they remember is the absolute genocide and devastation of Gaza, South Africa going to the International Court of Justice. Now, these other indicators of genocide, which are, far too late, but nevertheless, they're rising up now. And Trump's tepid comments about Netanyahu are also late. Jared Kushner, this silly Zionist effeminate beta male, and his commentary about the land of Gaza being valuable and, there's nothing there anymore, so we should just force them into Europe. All of these silly plans are really going to go nowhere, and it is going to result in the implosion of Israel's government. They have no idea what's coming. The tide has gone in. And the tide is about to come back out. And I think with it, the outrage of billions of Muslims. And no one, and comments like Trump's earlier about losing support in the world. Israel has no support anywhere on the face of the planet. Nowhere now. The United States, the American citizen, if they knew and saw what we saw and they knew what this was really all about, there would be no support whatsoever. So this is, I think, the end of Israel's government eventually. The Talmudists, who are the vicious, vile demoniacs who, dress up in the clothes of their vanquished victims or steal their property or get into children's beds and take videos or, do rape and pillage. These Talmudists, these devil-possessed lunatics, They're certainly not a good face for Israel. So I'm just wondering when the ignition of the gunpowder trail is going to be lit, and it's going to go back to Jerusalem and completely cause an implosion like World War Z, that classic scene. Israel is also complicit in the Ukraine operations with Mossad and its various involvement in Ukraine against Russia. I wouldn't be surprised if Mossad was the point agency for the recruitment of the retarded Tajiks, who were the four-man team that went in and shot up the Crocus concert. I wouldn't be surprised if Israel's fingerprints were on that. Yes, CIA, yes, Ukraine, yes, the GRU, yes, Britain. They all knew about it and had a role in it. But I think Israel has the quintessential role, the key role, because it is ISIS. It is the trainer, friend, participant, cousin of ISIS in many ways. So this is all going to go very badly very soon. And Trump and America, that's the other thing. We have no standing. We have no support in the Muslim world. We have no support in the African world. They just kicked out Central Command, or I'm sorry, Africa Command. Africa Command, which was established in Niger. The Niger new military junta that's taken over have said, we don't want anything to do with you anymore. Get your stuff out of our country. We don't have any military agreements with you. So that's the end of Africa Command, that Ian Brzezinski, who I worked with at Booz Allen Hamilton, and his dad, Zbigniew Brzezinski, were planning to be this U.S. military base like Central Command that would dominate all of Africa's resources. That's destroyed. That's been imploded. So we're witnessing the end of Israel in the United States in the eyes of the rest of the world, and a departure into more of a BRICS alternative economy. The question is there going to be any salvageable reputation of America? Are there any men of vision and humility and diplomacy that can recognize the only way to rebuild America in the eyes of the rest of the world and regain any kind of a status is through diplomacy and humility and not through military intervention? Because the rest of the world, as McGregor said, this is 1990. The rest of the world is armed. The rest of the world is sharing their arms, and they're sharing their arms and their technology and their hypersonic missiles and everything else that outmatches us. They're sharing it amongst one another for the purposes of defending against us. The days of color revolutions and overthrow that the United States would do to countries, I think that is completely over with. So I think we're in for a departure, a retreat that will inevitably lead to the fall of Rome. And I think what we're seeing in this Baltimore Bridge collapse are the beginnings of operations to set in motion the implosion of the cities like Baltimore, Chicago, New York, because they need the African savages and the retard populations and the Hispanics and all of these welfare recipients in these key urban areas. They need them to start behaving like zombies and monsters. And I think you'll see things happen in Los Angeles. I think you'll see all of this all over the country, because they need to declare martial law to stop the Trump election. But again, that's another fantasy, because nothing's going to stop Trump. This isn't even about Trump anymore. This is about Americans overthrowing a tyrannical form of government as the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence prescribes. When they go too far, it'll be Jefferson, Davis, and Abraham Lincoln all over again, and the Civil War will probably last a few months. It won't last years, because all the Republicans and the conservatives have been waiting to engage the enemy and destroy them utterly while the enemy waves rainbow flags and complains about pronoun selection. Jim?
Yes, and you referred to the events in Moscow. Get this: unwavering solidarity. The United States contemplates inviting Netanyahu to address Congress. Can you believe such an absurdity? House Speaker Mike Johnson just revealed the Republican caucus is contemplating to invite Netanyahu to address Congress. The potential invitation is a strong testament to the unwavering support for Israel from the Republican side, especially during the challenging times Israel faces in its ongoing conflict with Hamas. This is clearly written with a Zionist spin, so I'm not going to give it overemphasis. Meanwhile, we have the idea of admitting they ran a Telegram channel where they laugh and mock Palestinian civilians and children with snuff films of them being killed. Yet they describe themselves as the most moral army in the world. Get this.
Another day, another hefty load of evidence for The Hague against Israel. The IDF has been forced to admit that they have been running a propaganda channel on Telegram aimed at Israeli citizens that featured snuff films of Palestinians being murdered, dehumanized as insects and vermin, their bodies desecrated, and the destruction of Gaza glorified. Here are the details. The channel named 72 Virgins Uncensored celebrated everything from a Palestinian being repeatedly run over to a mother grieving over her son, to the destruction of places of worship and reduction of Gaza City to rubble. The existence of the channel has been known for some time. It was created on October 9th. Haaretz was the first mainstream outlet to cover its existence in early December of last year. Now, in that first report, they were able to cite a senior military official who anonymously confirmed that the IDF was, in fact, directing the channel. At the time, however, the IDF denied those claims. Now, in a follow-up, the IDF has been forced to admit that their own propaganda unit was behind 72 Virgins the whole time. Here is Haaretz with that reporting, quote, reversing an earlier denial, Israeli military officials have admitted that the Telegram channel 72 Virgins Uncensored was operated by members of a department of the Israeli Defense Forces Operations Directorate. The admission comes after Haaretz published an expose on the channel last month, which led to an internal investigation into the matter. The probe, conducted by Major General Oded Basiak, head of the Operations Directorate, found that the information that led to the original denial that the channel was operated by or on behalf of the army was incorrect and relied on misinformation relayed by members of the influencing department. In the wake of these findings, the unit's wartime commander is to end his military service. So now the IDF claims that the influencing department was in fact running the channel, but they were just freelancing, doing so without authorization. You can make your own judgments about how accurate this new version of the story is. Haaretz also documented some of the genocidal language, gore, and war crimes that were celebrated on this channel. Quote, an October 11th post read, burning their mother, you won't believe the video we got. You can hear their bones crunch. We'll post it right away. Get ready. Photos of Palestinian men captured by the IDF in the strip and the bodies of what they describe as terrorists were captioned, exterminating the roaches, exterminating the Hamas rats, share this beauty. A video of a soldier allegedly dipping machine gun bullets in pork fat is captioned, what a man, greases bullets with lard, you won't get your virgins. Another caption was, garbage juice, another dead terrorist, you have to watch it with the sound, you'll die laughing. Analyst Knox Bilal has been tracking the content on the channel as well. According to Bilal, on 72 Virgins, you could find this video of buildings in Gaza being demolished. Each time one is reduced to rubble, the twirling menorah on the screen gets another candle. The caption reads, burn Gaza down. You can also find some of the images that horrified the world, but apparently delighted the Israeli audience of 72 Virgins. Men and young boys being detained and humiliated in Gaza. Here's what they apparently considered a hilarious post advertising a destroyed building as if it was luxury real estate. Gaza, six rooms, 360-degree view, spacious roof, street with lots of parking exclusively for sale. For those interested, a pool can be added. LOL. Many commentators have been shocked by the willingness of IDF soldiers to publish TikToks advertising their war crimes and atrocities to the world. Incredibly, the shock was often at their willingness to publish these crimes rather than the commission of the crimes themselves. But here we have the propaganda unit of the IDF itself running a snuff aggregation channel. It makes several things really quite clear. First, far from being ashamed of their war crimes, the IDF and the Israeli government want Jewish Israelis to know just how brutal they are actually being, how complete the destruction and annihilation and suffering. After all, remember that polls found only 1.8% of Israeli Jews thought the IDF were using too much firepower. Nearly 60% thought they were not using enough. And since the IDF can't actually accomplish any of their supposed military objectives, brutality is meant to substitute for success. After all, Hamas is not destroyed. The IDF has killed more of their own hostages than they have rescued. The tunnel system is largely intact and far from creating a shock in the population that would lead them to abandon their fight. The Israelis have only strengthened the logic of violent resistance among Palestinians. Domestically, Israel is suffering a tremendous economic blow and inching closer to outright global pariah status, having already been found to be plausibly committing genocide. Even the pathetic and genocide-abetting Biden administration, alongside the pathetic and genocide-abetting Sunak UK government, are considering unilateral recognition of a Palestinian state. Hamas is likely strengthened, and the security of the Israeli people has only been further compromised. So gore, horror, and incitement to genocide are proffered as a way to cover for the abject systematic failure to accomplish any of the supposed goals of this operation.
God, I want to say, I'm sure that the reason U.S. abstained from vetoing is a political pressure within the United States has become so great. The prospects of any Democrat prevailing in the next election have grown so remote, and it's been so strong, the backlash, they have felt they had to make a move in that direction. And when she talked about the party being driven over repeatedly, let me add, that was by a tank.
Jim, this is, it's a pivot point, because this can destroy the Republican Party as well. This can destroy and should destroy the House Speaker, a moron who wants to bring Netanyahu, who is responsible for these videos. This, from a psychological operations perspective, this website, 72 Virgins Uncensored, is an extraordinarily valuable website. That can be used for evidence of war crimes. The arrogance and the demonism that animates the Israelis, thinking that their videos of killing and destroying are going to be met with anything but fury and disgust, shows you just how insane they are. They may get a devilish thrill, and so do their people, in seeing these graphic videos and laughing at them, but the world doesn't, and the entire world will not respond. And these videos don't go away, and there are many, I'm sure, more of them that have been captured and recorded. These videos won't go away; they will be surfacing. And what this is going to do is going to quicken the annihilation of Israel. This is also, when this goes out and gets out more and more, this is the beginning of the dike collapsing. This is going to result in Jews being killed in every country around the world. Orthodox Jews in America having their faces bashed in with baseball bats, and them run over, them being shot, them being machete hacked, as well as in other countries. Not because, people hate Jews, but because people hate demonist activity like this. This is pure, vicious, vile, inhuman slaughter. And the fact that they are taking enjoyment out of it is going to animate the backlash even more. So there's no escaping this. The Democrats, if they were smart, would completely wash their hands of Israel like Pontius Pilate, in that sense. And the Republicans, if they don't do that, they could be doomed to failure. They could be doomed to removal from office too. This is a wave that could be growing, and we're on the wrong side as Republicans. Charlie Kirk, who I agree with on a lot of domestic policy, suddenly makes himself a complete moron and an idiot when he starts blindly just pathologically supporting Israel and telling lies. There's not one incident or one piece of evidence of Israel doing anything wrong or blah, 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 blah. And then you've got videos like this. This destroys any credibility Charlie Kirk or any conservative Republican has, or any Christian either. Stu Peters has done some very good work and has come out and said, silly pastors accusing him of being anti-Semitic for pointing things like this out. So we're seeing the insanity and violence of Israel being amplified and being energized more and more. And as that amplifies and is energized and is revealed to the world, everyone is having a very clear choice. You're either on their side or you're against them. You can't be on the middle. So I do think this is going to rise up, and Republicans and Democrats alike are going to suffer. This is a toxic political issue. Unless you have the guts to stand up and be a moral person and being an independent person. But absent of that, and this could even destroy Trump if he's not careful. I mean, I really see this as ending Israel and ending the United States in the eyes of the world, because these sort of things you can't escape from. In today's video age of TikTok and YouTube, these videos don't go away, and it only makes the world hate the Israelis and hate the Americans because they are killing. I mean, this is like killing little puppies and kittens in a barrel. That's what the Israelis are doing to the Palestinians. And you know how outraged people get over that. Imagine how much more they're going to get outraged as this seeps into the bloodlines of every inhabitant of every Muslim country. And that's what the political leaders need to be afraid of, and I think they are, is if they don't get on the right side. Look at Qatar. Qatar built all of those apartments, and they were all annihilated. What have they done? What have they said to Israel? You owe us, $100 million. We built them, and you just destroyed them. The silence of the Muslim world is another amazing demonstration of ineptitude. But, what more can you say, Jim? I'll hand it back to you. I know we're getting close to the end.
I think you said it very, very well. And I think these stories are a package of corruption, sadism, really, merciless slaughter of innocent people being done with enthusiasm, joy, and zealotry. I mean, it is stunning as an indictment of Israel. And regarding Israel as our gallant ally in the Middle East is a disgrace to the United States, who has facilitated this slaughter.
This ends all of that. This ends any sympathy, any compassion people have ever felt towards Jews at all, ever, anywhere. This destroys every Jew in the eyes of the world because of what Israel's doing. And I know there are some that are violently renouncing it, that are standing against it and speaking against it, which I applaud. And I think they're wise, because otherwise you're going to have, everybody in the world saying, not only do I never want to hear another thing about the Holocaust and World War II, but you could have a large group of the world and world's countries expelling the Jews from their countries, and indeed engaging in very similar genocide against Jews to reflect what they're doing to the Palestinians. There's an amazing season of evil that could be unfolding. We'll see where it goes. Jim, always good to have you. Thank you very much for joining us on globalfreedomtv.com, and thank you for joining us. We encourage you to email us if you have any questions, and if you get the Indian Black Salve, please let us know if you have any questions. Go to destroy-cancer.com for any preventative and any dealings of cancer that you have. We want you to make sure you can contact us for that. We will see you next time. God bless you. Good night.